I write him a letter. Actually, I write two letters. I write the first letter full of accusations and anger and just pure emotion.
Don't mail it. All right. Hey, welcome to Intentional Living. We want to hear the rest of what Melissa does with that letter that she writes about her husband. I think there's a happy ending to that story. Dr. Randy here, live Intentional Living Studio, along with Andrew running Facebook today, and Jennifer, and our senior producer, Mr. Steven, back in the saddle, or from the saddle, in Dallas, visiting Dallas. And today we're going to talk about marriage communication. Wouldn't it be easier someday just not to have communication at all? You could have a mind meld. Remember Spock on... back on Star Trek, he would just put his hand on their head and you could immediately know what they're thinking at the deepest recesses to understand them. Wouldn't it be nice? Just come on, guys. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to just put your hand on your wife's head and all of a sudden you understand everything? That might play with your brain a little bit, though, right? And vice versa. Come on, guys. All right. Listen, I'll tell you what. One thing, what do you do in your marriage when you're feeling misunderstood, when communication isn't working? What do you do that helps you guys and ladies in your marriage to communicate? One thing that's maybe not quite the level of Spock and Star Trek, but it works for you guys. Give us a call. We're talking about intentional living. One thing, help people who need some help today. 888-888-1717. Or if you have a question for me, glad to help. 888-888-1717. Helping people is what we do. We help solve problems by putting the principles of intentional living to work that can change lives, marriages, families, people's destiny, and eternity when people make a decision intentionally for Christ. That's ultimately our goal here. So anyway, come and join us. Marriage communication is the topic today. 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. Just a little bit ago, before we came on, Jennifer was telling me about her husband, Bill, and how they communicate when he's trying to put together like an IKEA chair, you know, those things. I love the IKEA. You guys ever been to IKEA? You know, the Swedish store, and you buy this thing and it comes home and they only have pictures. They don't have words. They have pictures how to put things together. Well, we found out that Jennifer's husband doesn't like instructions. Good for him. But anyway, we'll find out how they deal with that communication. How about you? One thing that works for you in marriage communication, 888-888-1717. Let's hear the rest of that story from Melissa.
I learned that just through talking to my husband, actually, I learned that I am more emotional. He's analytical.
Mm.
And my emotions sometimes get, I just lash out and yell at him, and he shuts down when I do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't get anywhere communication-wise. I've learned through doing premarital counseling before we got married that we need to find a way that he won't shut down.
Yeah.
And through that, what I do is I write him a letter.
Hmm.
Actually, I write two letters. I write the first letter full of accusations and anger and just pure emotion.
And then what do you do with it?
That one is my throwaway letter. That's just to get all my thoughts out and on paper first.
That's your emotional punching bag, isn't it? Kind of getting this down on paper.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's my emotional punching bag. And then I take that letter and I edit it to where instead of accusing him and lashing out through words in the letter, I put, this is how whatever this action is, whatever is going on that's upsetting me with him, I say, this is how it's affecting me. This is how I feel about this.
And has this been working? Does this work for him?
Oh, it does. Because when I write him this letter, it gives him time to sit down and read the letter, analyze, and come up with his thoughts about it. And we are able to then get together, sit down, and civilly discuss the situation and come up with a compromise.
Hmm. Good for you. That's the way it should work, Melissa. I was, you know, as you were talking and telling that story, I was thinking, We should pack you up and send you to Washington, D.C. And you could have a lesson, a class being taught to all of our leaders on how to communicate. I have to admit, you know, I'm not a quote, political person, but I follow what's going on in the world and what's going on in our nation. And like you, my heart is sick over some of the stuff happening in our nation today. And then I see the men and women sometime who get elected and they just can't talk to each other, or they won't talk to each other. They don't communicate, don't sit down, don't resolve issues. And I think it's for a lot of reasons. I understand there's different reasons, but learning to communicate, and you put that kind of animosity, that kind of difference into a marriage relationship, and boy, it's a volatile situation that can just blow up. And what we just heard from Melissa was, hey, listen, whatever you're feeling, filter it, be careful. Tell the truth, speak the truth in love. But we sometimes need to understand the truth that not everything needs to be said, right? Things need to be said. Communication needs to occur, but not everything needs to be said. Communication in marriage, one thing that works for you. Give me a call, 888-888-1717. Let's go to Susan on the phone in Arizona. Hi there, Susan. How you doing?
Hi, Randy. How are you
good
today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
What have you learned? My husband and I are married 22 years. I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah, just what have you learned about communication?
Oh, okay. Yeah, so at night, I know this sounds a little bit like you've heard people say it and you don't really know if it's true or not, but at night we always have a hash out session from the day. If there's anything that we need to talk about or discuss, we do it before we put our head down.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible clearly says that God's mercies are new every morning. So we need to give our partners a spouse of grace. You know, a spouse, we need to give our spouse a grace period where we say, okay, your mercies are new today as well. I believe that that's scriptural. So that's why my husband and I do not go to bed angry. We rarely fight because we talk about everything every day. We make our marriage a priority. And so, yeah. So, but yep, that's it.
Well, hey, listen, it's not only biblical that his mercies are new every morning. It's also true we're not to put our head to bed at night with wrath. If we get rid of it at night, we can experience more of that mercy and grace and freedom in our marriage in the morning like you guys do.
Right. It's not that we solve everything every night, okay? But we're going to at least address it and make sure that we didn't, say anything or do anything to one another to cause, for us to have problems.
Now, do you have some nights, though, where just not quite there?
Yeah, but I'm not going to say I despise him or I'm that angry at him. And even as Christians, we can go to bed really mad. And we don't have promises for tomorrow, right, Randy?
Mm-hmm.
So because we don't have promises for tomorrow, do you really want to go to bed that night and take a chance that your partner may not wake up? So, and that's the reality. We have no promises. So, you know, if we wait and wait and wait, it's just, it builds and builds and builds. And we rarely, people ask me all the time, why don't you guys have fights, big blowouts or anything? But if you're talking every day, if you're setting aside time every day for your relationship with another person and you're valuing them, it's kind of, at that point, we go to bed, trust me, we're like, we're going to solve this now. And we do, because we've had 22 years of working it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes practice, but it's been amazing.
Yeah.
It's been the best thing I've ever done.
Well, good for you, Susan. It's the way to live. You know, the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. The Bible also says, be angry, but don't sin. So emotions are not the problem. We all have emotions, some of us more so than others. Some of us stuff them. Some of us can't get in touch with them. Some of us, they're right on the edge. But no matter where we are in that emotional spectrum, the Bible's clear. The emotions are okay, but the sin is not. And the sin comes in bitterness and anger and violence and abuse and all the stuff that we know that's just bad stuff, awful stuff. So we're talking about marriage communication today. Thank you, Susan. You can join us. One thing you do in your marriage, one thing that works for you, one thing that helps you in a really practical, what do you do? I mean, how do you handle disagreements? How do you resolve issues? Maybe, do you stuff them? Do you shove them down and hope they'll go away? Do you forget about them? Are there unresolved issues? You know, I sat in a session many years ago with an older couple. And after about 50 minutes, I said, I'm not sure what's going on with you two. And she spun around, looked at him and said, 25 years ago, you said this about my mother and I have never forgiven you. And I thought, wow, 25 years of lost intimacy and some love and affection and closeness in marriage because something was not resolved. And this poor guy, he looked like he was like a deer in the headlights. He had no clue what he said 25 years ago. This guy didn't know what he said 25 minutes ago. Come on. And some of us are like that. We harbor and we carry these things, unfortunately. Remember, communication is not a perfect science. It's difficult. And, we got books written on it. Love languages. My friend Gary Chapman wrote the book, Five Love Languages, which helps people. We've done books on marriage. I have one on the topic of being starved for affection. And part of that is lack of really connecting and communicating with each other. So what one thing do you do that works for you? 888-888-1717 is my number. 888-888-1717. Let's take that break and we'll be back. And I'm going to talk to Jennifer here in a moment because she was telling me a story that poor Bill doesn't know you're going to share on the air. So we'll find out if he's listening or not. We'll be right back.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
And the first thing that he did is he stopped. It says in Scripture that he sat down. He sat down. And I would just say, whenever you really sense you got a challenge in your life or a problem, or whenever you have an opportunity, be careful not to just run off with the limited information you have. The beauty of what we see in the life of Nehemiah is he stopped. He listened to what was happening. It was traumatic. It was overwhelming to him. But he didn't just run off. He stopped. It's a lesson from my favorite Old Testament character, Nehemiah, this month, brand new month, moving into the month of June. And boy, we'd love to have you be receiving our masterclass teaching. It goes out to you all who are part of this journey with us every month by digital. It comes out by email, both video and audio, from our Intentional Living Center. I've just recorded this a couple weeks ago, and we'll get it out to you. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and join us. We appreciate your support. One of the callers we talked to a little bit ago, Angela from Michigan, set off an interesting internal discussion here I'm going to get to with Jennifer in a moment. But let's hear Angela's call, and then we'll get to Jennifer here in the studio. Take a listen.
Well, I've kind of learned, as you're saying, men and women both think differently. And women always feel like their husbands are maybe criticizing when they're trying to help. And if women say anything to men, they really do think we're criticizing them. So we've learned to communicate without speaking. He may have something going on and he can't figure it out. What I do, instead of saying, well, hey, did you try this or do you want to do that? And he gets upset and he'll say, oh, I know what I'm doing. You don't have to help, don't it? And so I've learned that when he's doing something like that, I wait until he walks away for a second, and I fix it for him. And I've done it. He does it for me sometimes, too. But we've done this several times, and he'll look at me and he'll say, well, how did you do that again? Because we always do that for each other now.
So you do it with a smile. You don't do it out of anger. And
no.
Yeah, that there you go. We pick our battles carefully.
Yeah,
and
we both laugh in the end. But because he's always like, "Oh, I did it again." But he'll do something for me, and then I'll notice that he fixed it or he changed it, and it'll be better. And I'll be like, "Oh, well, thank you for doing that for me." And so it's a way of communicating without speaking. That way, neither one of us get offended. and then we both love that each other fixed it for each other.
All right. I talked to Angela a while ago, and we wanted to share that call with you, but I can hear some guys saying, that's a real deal. I can start a project, get frustrated, walk away, and then she'll finish it. Now, that is what I think I heard you, Jennifer, our engineer here. Now, Bill's not listening. We'll find out if he is or not. But what do you do when this kind of thing happens in your house?
Well, it made me chuckle what Angela said. God bless her, because it's not just me. But we actually are in the process of downsizing some things, because it's just Bill and myself. And we had a dining room set that sat 8 people. And so I looked at the table. I'm like, why do I need this? We got to get rid of it.
You either have to get more friends or a smaller table.
Exactly. Okay. So we chose the smaller table. And it was the table itself was so easy. It took maybe 5 minutes for us to put the legs on. And I thought maybe the chairs would be, you know, pretty quick. Well, it wasn't. There was a million pieces, just like the IKEA thing you're talking about. Bill does not care to read directions. He kind of looks at...
That's a way to go. It's a waste of time.
And I could tell he was coming home from work doing some of the chairs, putting them together, and then he would get frustrated and then he was done for the day. So by Wednesday of last week, I thought, you know what? I can do some when I get home from work. And so what I ended up doing is I ended up putting the part where you sit down and lean your back on. I put those together for him. And when he walked through the door, he was so excited, I think, because it was less work. But he and I both finished off the chairs, put them together. And at the end, he said, thank you for helping me, because I was kind of dreading it by the end of the day today, which was Wednesday.
So you read the instructions and did it.
I am the person who loves to read instructions. It's not that I love it. I just hate a million extra pieces and not knowing what they're
for. You don't want to end up with a whole bucket of pieces.
No. But if something happens to go wrong with the chair back or the seat itself, I didn't do it.
Yeah. One time I put something together as an extra screw left. I figure it was a mistake at the factory when they mailed it to me. I mean, I have to believe that, you know. All right. Well, Bill, listen, he's a guy. Got to cut him, you know, some slack. And
yep.
So listen, Bill, if you do read the instructions, though, it does make life easier, I will admit, right? Is that true, Andrew? Our tech guy, he put this whole studio together. Did you read the instructions? Yeah, sometimes. All right. Okay, we're talking about marriage communication. Let's get back to our callers live here in the studio. We've got Megan on the phone in Arizona. Hi, Megan. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
Good. What have you learned about communication in marriage?
You know, my aunt told me a long time ago, she said, in these situations, when you're having a difficult upset, blame, shame, anxiety, worry, anger, if you allow them to be prominent, they're not going to do anything positive for you. But prayer does everything. And so this last season, my husband and I, we have lost so many people. Between January and February, we lost 7 family members, including both sets of our parents and one of our adopted children. It was so hard, and we clung to each other to get through it, which I'm so grateful that, God reminded us that we've got each other to lift each other up, right?
That's right.
But I've noticed that both of us were kind of testy with the kids. We've got a full house, and we're both just on edge. We're not ourselves. We're not who, you know, we would have been before this past year. And in that moment, when I hear, for example, my husband, you know, getting testy with one of my kiddos, in that moment, I can go really defensive and really angry, and I could start yelling, or I could just take a moment and pray and ask God just for a little bit of peace, So this past weekend, we had one of those moments where my husband and one of my teenagers are just kind of testy with each other and not really reflecting the love that we really do have for each other, right, in the way that they were communicating. And so I said, you know what, hold on. It's so much easier for me to communicate when we've got something in common. So what can you guys do to spend more time to reconnect? So this weekend they're going to go out to lunch, and I think the teenager is going to teach dad how to play Fortnite, which is going to be kind of funny. But, you know, it, just to remember, like, we love each other.
That's right.
You know, we are a gift to each other. We are here to lift each other up and support each other. And God's got us. But sometimes those negative emotions and when we let them, you know, be front and center, they take away who we are to each other.
Amen. What a story. Listen, when did this all occur? Seven family members lost during what period of time, Megan?
Between January 9th and February 4th.
1 month.
It was
both sets of parents.
Heavy. Yeah.
Plus others.
Both including sets of parents.
And one of your children?
Yeah. We have some foster kiddos that we, one of which we had adopted, and we lost him. And then both sets of our parents. And then an uncle on both of our sides. It was, you know what, but God's grace is in that too.
Amen.
You know, my husband and I were caregivers for four of these seven people. You know, his mother had health issues, and my parents were technically my grandparents, but, you know, my family structure is what it is. And so we were exhausted, and come December, you know, we're paying for their caregiving. We're out of pocket, and I'm going, God, I know you don't intend for me to go completely broke here. but I was having a hard time paying my mortgage. We were that tapped in what we were doing for others.
Now, you understand, Megan, that when we hear these kind of stories from others, these kind of losses, this hurt, this is what blows families up. This is what blows marriages up. And so you guys, the fact that you've held this together, you're clinging to each other, as you've said, and listen, you guys are going through a grief period. You're going to have these, as you know, these are just part of the human condition that we have during loss, and cutting yourself some slack and grace, as you say, focusing on the positive and being proactive, or we call intentional. That's really what proactive is, doing the next right run thing in your marriage. You have been very intentional in your marriage, in your relationship through this loss, where I have talked with and counseled with people who go through these kinds of things. And instead of fighting for their marriage, they fight in their marriage and lose their marriage and their family. And so God bless you for being intentional in honoring God, bringing Him glory, and certainly benefit to yourself in the process. It's powerful.
We have a really wonderful marriage, and I'm very, very grateful for it. But I'll tell you, we've never been closer than walking through this season together. It's been hard. That didn't come with no difficulty.
No, that's right.
But you know, we're getting there, and it's amazing. I'm really grateful for it. Even through all the hurt, right? God wants us to see Him still and reach out to Him, and I'm just grateful.
Amen.
In our lives, we all have challenges and opportunities. In Dr. Randy's message, Winning and Losing at Life, you'll learn about two people in the Bible, Nehemiah and Jonah, and how they responded in different ways to challenges and opportunities in their lives, and how we can finish strong as winners who are obedient to Christ. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you Dr. Randy's teaching featuring a new topic each month. This month, we have an incredible opportunity, as some friends of the ministry will match your gift dollar for dollar right now. Receive this month's special offer, and to send in your matching gift, call 888-888-1717 today, or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, I hope you'll do that. Thank you so much. The lesson this month, I'm excited about it, being a winner and losers. We talk about that, winners and losers. We got a powerful example in the Old Testament of Nehemiah and Jonah, these two guys, and how they responded and reacted to God's direction in their life, command in their life. And so this is a powerful story, and the principles that are taught from both of these men can be transformational in your life. And so watch for it. It's our master class for June. And if you're not a part of it, come on, be a part of Intentional Living. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. All right. Talking about marriage communication today. Here's Conrad with, I think, a comment or question. Go ahead, Conrad.
Well, one thing I've learned in communication has been to ask more questions and make less statements. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, one thing I've had to understand is my wife enjoys, you know, having intimate conversations. And one thing that's helped me a lot is to be able to ask more questions than make statements. Because, you know, I know in my life personally, the last thing I want to hear is someone offering advice that's not wanted. And so those questions really kind of help guide the conversation, which in turn creates more intimacy in our marriage.
Yeah, it does. And for people like me who make a living doing telling people how to live, it's easy not to think that. Learning to ask questions are important. What kind of questions would you be raising with your wife to get conversation going?
I would, first of all, listen to her emotion and then, I guess, paraphrase how she's feeling, such as, I understand that you're upset about this. You know, tell me more. What made you upset about this situation? And kind of capturing that emotion to help understand her heart a little bit better.
You know, listen, when you ask the right question at the right time to the right person, it can be transformational in a life. And listen, this has been really fun, been interesting. I think we've had some lessons that we've all learned today about marriage communication. That's what Intentional Living and Family Life Communications is all about. We want to help you experience the hope that we have in Christ. And we experience that hope because of what God has done for us. But we can also grow beyond that while we choose to be obedient to His commands, His direction. And in the process, we bring glory to God and further benefit to ourselves and our family. So we're going to continue this discussion on marriage communication for the next 30 minutes right now. But we're going to record it for a program that's going to air tomorrow. It'll air tomorrow here on Intentional Living. So we'd love to have you participate. You've been listening. Come and be a part of it. Share one thing that you've learned about marriage communication. Maybe you have a question for me or a comment. You're welcome to join us. But call right now so we can get you on at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. Love to talk to you. And for our Facebook friends today, thank you for joining us. Be sure to share with others Intentional Living, what we're doing. Give them a chance to hear some lessons that'll encourage them as well. So on behalf of my wife, Donna, and our team here in the studio, Jennifer, Andrew, and Stephen, thank you for joining us. I'm Dr. Randy. We'll see you again tomorrow with more on this topic of marriage communication as you all share with us right now. Give us a call. Talk to you. See you tomorrow.